Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves, it's what our moms tell people when every single year they talk about buying a new iPhone in August. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way. And we just nailed that. After a month, we just nailed that intro.
Wow.
Pretty good.
I mean, we're seasoned professionals at this, I think. That was impressive.
That's true. You know, we have taken quite a few breaks. I don't want to, maybe we shouldn't be drawing attention to this, the fact that we...
Maybe not.
That we're off more than we're on sometimes, but I guess we'll say that we have some experience with this, so it's good to be back.
Should we update our intro from a laugh or two along the way to a break or two along the way? Because that would honestly be more accurate at this point.
That's pretty good. It could be like a laugh or two per month, because, you know, we only do like, you know, one episode a month these days.
Yeah, in fact, speaking of which, Noah, would you care to break the bad news to all these nice ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, we're first starting with that up at the top. All right, we are going to be off for the next 2 weeks after this one. So this is a
very... And it's not my fault.
This is... The last 4 weeks were your fault, or the last, like, I don't know, some of those weeks were your fault. These are my fault, but we will make this a very special episode to make up for it. And then when we come back from those 2 weeks, we're going to be so close to new iPhones and Apple Watches and whatever. It's going to be super exciting time. So
the next, be good. So this is the only show we're doing in August is what you're telling me.
Let me double check the calendar. Well, yeah, because the next one will be September 1st.
Yeah, so. That's what I was... Yeah. But yeah. Hey, you know what? That's at that point, well, I guess we won't have gotten invites to the event yet. That'll probably be on Monday or Tuesday, the second or third. And then I'm pretty sure it's going to be September 10th for the actual event.
Nice. I mean, that'll be really soon. That's in a month from now. And, you know, time will fly and we'll be there soon.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm very excited. But we should get into the news because a lot has happened, and I want to talk about the Mac before we get into the iPhone stuff that is inevitably going to have to happen.
Of course.
And that is we are finally – I dare not even get too excited about this, folks, because I am suspicious. I'm always suspicious whenever I hear rumors like this, but we have now heard – for the first time in a while, that a new M4 Mac Mini will be its smallest computer ever. So this would be the first major design change to Mac Mini since Steve Jobs' era, which is outrageous if you think about it. The current Mac Mini design came out in 2011 with a DVD drive, which was dropped in 2012 and has not been changed since. Actually, it has been changed, and that was, it used to have an infrared sensor on the front, yeah. And then they removed it. That's how old the current Mac Mini design is. It's actually so unbelievably hilarious. It beggars belief.
Yeah, this design is, it's obviously an old design, but it's especially funny after like Apple Silicon came out because you can do so much, like you can pack so much more power into a small space with Apple Silicon. There is no reason for this thing to be this big anymore. It doesn't need the cooling that the Intel chips needed. It doesn't need that amount of size and whatever they're doing with the storage, whatever. It can be so much smaller than it is, and it is really overdue for them to update it. And I really like... E-Uploads has a comment saying it would be really cool if they turned an Apple TV into a Mac Mini. And I'm just thinking, like, that's such a nice little form factor, the Apple TV. Like, imagine if that thing would just sit on your desk and run Mac OS on your monitor or whatever. Like, that would be so cool.
No, I think that's exact. I would absolutely love if they do that. I would love to see, like, the rounded edges. and maybe a glass top or something that would kind of be a throwback to the original Mac Mini. We've heard a couple of, you know, little murmurings about something like that. I would also love a USB port and an SD card slot on the front. I'm just going to put that out there. It'd be like a little mini Mac studio. Could you imagine that? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's why I can't imagine that, because I feel like Apple wants to keep them separate. I agree. It would be amazing if they did it, but I can't imagine that they would, because they got to separate it from the Mac Studio.
Yeah, you know, honestly, that's a very good point. But I'll tell you what, if this new Mac Mini is that much smaller, I think it's time for me to stick a Mac Mini in something else. I've put a Mac Mini in an iMac. I've put a Mac Mini in a Wii. I think it needs to be put into more things, personally.
Oh, yeah. The possibilities are, I'm not going to say endless, but a lot more open than they are if the thing is really that small. So we can start brainstorming that.
Oh, I want to make a handheld Mac Mini.
Oh, interesting.
I don't want to get too ahead of myself, because there were rumors like 4 years ago about a new redesigned Mac Mini, and I saw CADs. I laid my eyes on CADs and what looked like very, very, I mean, it was real. It was an actual thing that Apple was testing, and it never came to be. So who knows? But the current Mac Mini, like you said, is ridiculously outdated in its design. The board fills up a third of the interior space, and the rest of it is just leftover parts that they used from the 2018 Mac Mini. So it has a 150-watt power supply for a system that can max out at 65 watts, right? Like, it literally, it's in a MacBook Air. It can run on 30 watts, and they have a 150-watt power supply for no reason. There's a huge fan, again, no reason for that. It, you know, it's an M2 chip. I guess there's an M2 Pro chip in it, so then it can actually use that fan. But like, even then, it's, you know, that chip's in a 14-inch MacBook Pro. It doesn't need that much cooling. These are Apple Silicon things. And like, I mean, the whole thing is just full of air. So I would really like to see a redesigned Mac Mini. I think that has a ton of potential. And I really hope it is small, like an Apple TV. If it is, I mean, okay, I don't think it can be that small, because the Apple TV is passively cooled. So I feel like it would probably need a little bit more. But God, it would be so cool if it was that small.
Yeah, it may not actually be that small, because you've got, I think the Apple TV is probably a bit less powerful. There's also fewer ports on an Apple TV than you would have on a Mac Mini. So I could see it being a bit bigger, but even still, I feel like this would be such a significant design upgrade, because like, take the MacBook Pro, for example. You compare like the 16-inch design from like right before, at the end of the Intel days, to the new redesign, the Apple Silicon one right now. Like, that's a pretty significant update. They look very distinctly different, lots of things like that. But I would argue something like this is potentially even more significant in terms of, like, if you put the two next to each other, it's like they would almost look like they're two different products in the case of the Mac Mini, if Apple's able to get it. I could see them, you know, who knows, are they going to go for like an Apple TV kind of thing? They could do a tall boy like they did for the AirPort Extreme. They could do a flat one that fits under the stand of the display or whatever. Do almost like a super drive, like a flat and long. I don't know what they would do. Probably more just like the average, like an Apple TV. But they could do something very cool with it, and it would be really nice.
I know. I would love to see them do something more interesting. We saw rumors, I think very, very sketchy rumors, that there was maybe going to be a Mac built into a keyboard. That would be sick. Because I'm like, okay, the Mac Mini as it is a very nice form factor. Everyone loves a little micro PC. You can put it under your desk. You can stick it behind a monitor. You can make super cool minimal setups with it. But what I want to see is integrating the Mac Mini into a setup like that, integrating it into a monitor stand, I want a compartment that comes out of the desk with, you know, dried ice and steam, and a Mac Mini rises up, and then I put in my USB drive and stick it back down. You know, give me something fun. That's what I want.
Yeah, definitely. And I wonder, like, I guess they have to keep it separate from the iMac as well, so they don't want to. I guess if the iMac is the all-in-one and the Mac Mini is the, like, bring your own display, keyboard, mouse, whatever. That was what, you know, what they say for it. So, like, I guess they got to keep it separate. I don't think they're going to go too crazy with it, unfortunately. I'd love if they did something really cool. But even if they just make it a lot smaller, like, that alone is still, like, pretty cool.
Yeah, that is true. Ugh, I could really use some new M4 Macs. I'll tell you that, though. It's kind of surprising that we still haven't gotten anything, like any Mac at all. That's surprising.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that they put M4 on the iPad that soon. I guess that was like the first, like a new, that was the first time that a new M series chip started on the iPad, right? Before they would come to the iPad later, I believe.
Yes. Yes. I think you're right. Well, technically or at least since Apple Silicon, yeah, there have been a couple of times where the iPad chip was like ahead of the curve or something. But yeah, since the Apple Silicon transition, it's always gone the other way around. I think that was a sign from Apple that they were like, please buy the new iPads. But honestly, it's crazy because we've had the M4 chip for months now. And it doesn't even really, like, have the same kind of impact because it's on an iPad, so who cares? Like, it's kind of weird because I'm like, oh, I can't wait to test the M4 chip. Meanwhile, I have one over there. It's just pointless because it's in an iPad.
Yeah, that's, like, it's weird because I get why it's not in the MacBook Air, because the MacBook Air was updated, like, not that long ago with M3. But, like, the Mac Mini, obviously, we've been talking about that. That's one that's, you know, in need of being upgraded. I guess the iMac was updated somewhat recently with the M2 or M3 or whatever is in it now. So I don't know. But there's a few computers that haven't been updated in a bit that they could put M4 in.
What's interesting is I wonder how long it's going to be before we get another Ultra chip, because we did not get an M3 Ultra, and I don't think we're going to. So the question is, do we then start? I guess we're going to start on an M4 chip, I would assume, maybe in October. I feel like there has to be a Mac event this year. Like, I don't see this year ending without any new Macs, especially considering the M4 chip already exists.
Yeah, it is really weird because I feel like it kind of throws off the cycle that, like, even though the M4 chip launched on the iPad and it's not in any Macs yet, it's been out for a while, which means, like you said, it's hard to do an M3 Ultra because there's already an M4 out, so it sounds outdated, even though obviously it's more powerful. But then the M4 has been out for a while, so you can start doing, like, the Pro, Max, Ultra, like, whatever. But then, like, the M5 has to come out at some point. Apple's going to want to update the iPad at some point, and then it just gets, like, I don't know. The timeline gets a little bit weird for them, I think.
Yeah, that is definitely a bit odd. I'm very confused by the whole situation. I don't know why Apple can't just, you know, be normal for once. They always like to make everything as complicated as possible and not make any sense. So, yeah, that's always fun. But I guess, you know, the other thing that we have to talk about Mac-related before we get into iPhone stuff is, as weird as it is to say, we're not that far away from a presumptive MacBook Pro redesign. As weird as it is, the current generation MacBook Pro is going to be turning 3 this fall, and typically Apple is on like a 4-year cycle when it comes to their main MacBook generations. Now, previously that was extended because of, you know, butterfly keyboard plus switching to Apple Silicon. So that was a weird cycle. That was the Touch Bar, which ran from 2016, October 2016, until technically October 2021. So that was 5 years. Now, I don't know, man. It seems weird to think about next fall getting a redesigned MacBook Pro, but that's what history books are telling us, and I think I remember seeing rumors about it. So I think it's going to happen next year. Weird.
It's really, like, it's weird for, like, I guess it's really weird because I can't, first of all, I can't imagine upgrading my MacBook Pro that I have. I have the, right. You know, 2021, it's, like, pretty much fully specced out, or it's, like, very specced out, which it definitely didn't need to be, but, like, whatever it is. And so it's already, like, so fast, powerful, battery life, whatever, whatever. I can't, it's like the iPad, like the 2018 iPad that I still have no desire to upgrade. And I think, and I wonder, like, you look at the iPad, and the iPad went a long time without getting a redesign. You can argue that the most recent version is a redesign. I mean, it's a lot thinner, and there are some other differences, the camera moved, whatever. I'd say it's a bit more of a minor, more of a refresh, bigger than a refresh, smaller than a redesign, but whatever. I kind of, if I had to guess, and we'll look at these rumors because, you know, I don't know, but just going off of my thoughts, I would think that maybe they will extend the life cycle a little bit more. They could easily squeeze 5 years out of this thing if they want to. The question is, do they want to? And then I wonder if the next MacBook Pros come out are going to be sort of like that iPad, where it's like more than a refresh, but maybe less than a redesign. Because I can't imagine, you know, like, Apple Silicon hasn't gotten that much better that, like, they can do something drastic, you know, of a change.
Yeah. Well, and that, I think, is probably why the redesign would make sense. Like, this article here is quoting from a Ming-Chi Kuo report. And, you know, there was a significant decline in MacBook shipments last year. They did the M3 chip sooner than expected. That is in October. That did, in fact, happen. And then Ming-Chi Kuo was saying, if the M3 can't boost MacBook shipments, I think the likelihood of introducing the all-new design in 2025 may increase. And that does kind of check out if you think about it. As you mentioned as well, there's not been this massive increase in the performance of Apple Silicon, nor, if I'm being honest, is there that much of a need for it, because these chips are so good. I mean, you're on an M1 Max. I actually am working on a video where I bought an M1 Pro, and it's like totally powerful, usable, more than usable. It's more than most people need, even still. So maybe a new design is something that would get people to upgrade. Like, I know you're in a position, right, where you've got your 16-inch. You spent, you know, $3,800 3 years ago. So you're not exactly, like, itching to get rid of it, but you have also thought about downsizing. You've thought, this one's a bit big, a bit heavy. So if, theoretically, end of next year, Apple were to come out with a design where they, let's say they shrink or eliminate the notch, they switch over to OLED panels like we have on the iPad, still with ProMotion, of course, maybe a thinner design, some new Apple Silicon, and M5 Pro and M5 Max, and different design and some other features. You know, every design generation has its own set of features. Would that tempt you, or are you just not interested in buying until your computer breaks or is, like, too slow?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I have. And I think we talked about this, well, last episode, aka like a month ago. But I have been thinking about getting a MacBook Air, just going the total opposite direction, 16-inch MacBook Pro to 13-inch MacBook Air, just because it's so much, like, thinner and lighter, and obviously it's not as powerful, but I realistically don't need, you know, that much power. So I think But okay, but here's the thing. Even that I've been thinking about this for a while, and, you know, obviously the MacBook Air is less expensive than a MacBook Pro would be. Even that, I still haven't done it, and I'm not realistically planning to. Every time I'm, like, getting ready to travel somewhere, I'm like, ooh, it would be nice if I had a MacBook Air. It's, like, you know, whatever, thinner, lighter, easier to travel with, whatever. But I never do it. So would it realistically tempt me? I would think about it, but I'm not sure that I would actually do it, just because it's like you said, that I spent a lot of money on this computer and it still works perfectly fine, and it's very hard for me to the activation energy to get over that hump and, like, actually do something. And that's what you were saying, and what the article was saying, is I think a lot of people are experiencing that same thing, and that's why the sales were falling, and that's why Apple's trying to do something about it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's it, right? You've got, oh, also, I just noticed that Genius Bar, oh, look at that, they're glazing us.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I make no bones about it. We don't have sponsors. We don't have the listenership of Genius Bar. I think we know who the best Apple podcast is.
We're the real ones, though. We're like down in the trenches, like, fighting for our lives over here.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is Sam. Someone said, oh yeah, someone asked Jern or Sam. Oh, they're editing their episode right now. Oh, look at that.
Oh, very exciting.
And they admitted, I don't know who is, they admitted that they aren't the best Apple podcast. I don't know if that's us or them. Who even knows? But I'll tell you what. I know someone who's going to buy that new generation MacBook Pro in a heartbeat.
You.
Well, yes. But,
and Sam.
And Sam. Because this is the thing. This is what we do. I tend to sort it into two different camps. There's two different types of tech users. And this is Mac, but then also iPhone as well. Perfect transition to the iPhone 16 Pro.
Nice.
There are people who upgrade based on excitement, desire, and features. And there are people who upgrade based on cost and also perceived end of life. I have friends who will only buy a phone if they crack their screen and it's not worth fixing it, so they'd rather get a new one, or their battery is so dog shit that they just literally can't survive anymore and they just need something new. But then I also have other friends, or, you know, even like...
Oh. Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
We're never going to know. What does Luke have? His other friends, or...
Oh, dear.
Or what?
I had a Magic Mouse moment. You know, when you accidentally brush the Magic Mouse with a single finger, and it's like, oh, yep, you're going back a page, and then you're gone? Yeah. Anyway, as I was saying, I do have other friends who... Or my dad. My dad is a good example of this, where he's not, you know, he's not like me. He's not getting the new phone every year, or even every other year. But when USB-C came out, he was like, oh, I really want that. I'm doing it. I'm getting the upgrade. So he went from the iPhone 12 to the 15 Pro. He's probably not going to get a 16 Pro or a 17 Pro or an 18 Pro, but he's a feature user. He's like, I will buy a new phone when it has this thing. So I guess those are the three camps: simps, smart people, and what's the... Scrooge, that's what it is. And people are like, the day my phone catches fire is the day I'll get a new one. I'm like, okay, whatever you say.
Yeah, I guess I'm in the... What was the first category? The simps?
Yes, the simps. That's me. I'm the simp.
Okay.
And you too. So I'm pretty sure. At least for iPhone.
Yes, for iPhones. Because the thing is, like, first of all, my family enables that because I give them my old phones. So I feel like true. And to be fair, I am buying the phone. I'm paying for the phone and I give it to them for free. So I am like
it's charitable.
I'm being kind of nice, but at the same time, they enable me so I don't have to feel guilty about spending a bunch of money on a new phone every year. I can be like, oh, I'm going to give my current one. Like, my dad has a 10S Max right now, and he's going to get...
Oh.
I know. Dude, he has a 10S Max. The battery life is horrible. The storage, he's like constantly deleting things to free up his storage. He has like 64 gigs of storage or something. It's...
Oh, he has a 64?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
It's a bit rough for him. So I'm giving him my 15 Pro Max when I get the 16 Pro or Pro Max, whatever, in the fall. And so... I get to feel like a good person, and I get an excuse for buying the new one. So
that's clever.
They enable me, and they get free phones out of it. So I guess it's a win-win. Here's my mom saying...
Yeah, I mean,
saying,
I would be complaining.
Yeah, my mom has my 14 Pro right now. So she's saying, get the 17, the 16 Pro so that she can... Whatever. So it's...
See, I don't do that. I keep... the one previous phone. So when the iPhone 16 Pro comes out, I mean, you know me, I'm going to get the Pro Max. I always do. I always think about it. I always think, oh man, the small one's so small. I like that. But then I think, no, that's for fools and nerds. I am not a nerd. I get the big phone. And then I'll probably end up selling my 14 Pro Max, which I've kept as a sort of a B cam or a spare backup phone. And then the 15 Pro will assume that role. But I always sell them. I don't give them away. I ain't no charity over here. Although I do give them laptops. So I guess that counts.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I also feel like for me, I guess, like the iPhone is the device that I use more than anything else. Like, obviously, right? Like, obviously, it's in my pocket all the time. I'm, like, whenever I'm out and, you know, out anywhere, I have my phone with me. So I'm using it a lot. And, like, I do use my Mac. I don't use it super often. Like, I have my work laptop that I use at work. It's, you know, whatever. It's a piece of equipment, basically, for doing my job. And then I have my laptop that I use sometimes if I'm writing code or whatever. But, like... if I'm sitting on the sofa down, you know, in front of the TV and I'm using a device, it's probably my phone. It's probably not my laptop. It's probably not my iPad. It's probably my phone. So I feel like the phone is one, like I'm more willing to upgrade it, not only because I'm enabled to, but also because like I use it all the time. So I'll like notice it more. I care a bit more about it, I guess.
That's true. Yeah. I think that's fair as well. I've definitely become more like that as my tech lifestyle kind of changed. I used to be extremely laptop driven, back in college especially, because the way that... I don't know. I feel like this is actually kind of an interesting topic. I don't think many people are going to care, but I'm going to say it anyway because this is my show and I can do what I want. I think my view on... laptops has changed over the past 7 years that I've been doing this as a job. Well, it wasn't a job 7 years ago because I had 1,000 subscribers. But when I was initially doing YouTube, it was going out of high school into college. And so the laptop was literally the center of my universe, right? That is where I did all my work. I brought it to class. I took notes on it. I had textbooks on it. And I edited all of my videos, did my research. Everything was on that 15-inch MacBook Pro. I had a gaming PC, like a desktop, so that's what I would use to like watch movies when I would invite friends over. That's where I would play games, obviously. But I didn't really... It was more recreational and not work-related. Then in the middle of college, I finally got an iMac because once I was not living in dorms, I had a little bit more space. And by that, I mean I had a corner of a room instead of a corner of a shipping container, because that's what going to a roommate apartment as opposed to, you know, being in a dorm room is like. So then I had an iMac, which I could do my editing on, but I was still using the laptop daily, every single day, moving it around, bringing it with me. So I wanted battery life, I wanted performance, I wanted screen size. But then by the time it was like we got to like COVID time, by that point the channel was bigger. I had an iMac Pro, so I was no longer doing pretty much any editing work on the laptop. And that's when the Apple Silicon transition started. And then I think it sort of shifted the priority, because the laptops had become so powerful. You didn't really need the big beefy MacBook Pros to have a good experience with a MacBook. I mean, you know, go back to 2018-19, if you were buying a MacBook Air, you better hope you didn't have to do anything too demanding on it, because it really was only good for web browsing. It was like a Chromebook, effectively. But by the M1 time, it's like, now I don't use laptops all that often, because I'm working on a desktop from here. I don't really go to I don't go to classes anymore. I don't go to like another location. So I use laptops frequently, but not out of necessity, if that makes sense. I use them because I like them and I want to test them. So it's kind of weird to have that shift in what you do. And I know you had that with your iPad that you used to use a lot.
I used to use my iPad, yeah, a lot. I got it in, was like November 2018 when it came out, whenever it came out, and I used that a lot. I also did use my laptop a lot. This is the interesting thing that I was thinking about with what you said. So there was a period, I know I've talked about this on the podcast a long time ago, but there was a period of like, maybe it was like 2 months where I did not have my laptop, my Mac, because it was like a 2017 MacBook Pro, and it fried itself. I didn't do anything to it, just like it broke, and I had this horrible experience getting it repaired. They ended up replacing it with a 2018 MacBook Pro. All this stuff happened, whatever. But the point is,
the famously not overheating 2018 Core i9 MacBook Pro that was very good.
Yeah, well, that one didn't stick around for too long, because thankfully Apple Silicon came out. But
although actually that was 3 years. That was as long as you've had your current MacBook, and you were itching to get rid of that one. You were like, I can't wait to be done with this thing after 3 years. And now things are different.
That is true. Apple Silicon was a huge leap that I was very excited to get Apple Silicon and all that. But I think the interesting thing to the topic you were discussing is, during those 2 months that I didn't have my laptop, it was like pretty rough for me, because I had, I forget if I had my iPad at that point or not. I forget when it happened. I kind of feel like it might have happened I did have my iPad. I don't know.
I think that you got the iPad while this was all happening, because I remember you being without a laptop in that fall, and it was like late October when the iPad came out. And I think you got the replacement laptop sometime in November.
You know what? You might be right. But I remember I also had a ThinkPad laptop that you gave me.
Hell yeah.
And that was but I remember I was like, it was like really hard for me to not have that laptop. It because I was like, you know, in college, I was going to classes, whatever. And even if I brought my iPad to the classes, I needed my laptop to like, that's where I would do my actual work. If I'm like writing a paper or writing code or like whatever, I need the laptop. And so thankfully I had the ThinkPad that was fine. But the thing is that I think now, if the same thing happened where my laptop fried itself and it was gone for 2 months, I think first of all, I'd probably just buy a MacBook Air. That would be my good excuse to have one. To get one.
Yeah.
But like, even if I didn't do that and I was without a laptop for 2 months, and I don't have a desktop, I have a 2016 gaming computer that I never use. I'm not really going to use that. But like, even if I didn't have a computer, I would be a lot less affected by it now than I was when I was in college. I think that's the point that I kind of agree with you, that I also use my laptop less often than I did in college, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird. I think it's a lot of it is a post-COVID thing. I think laptops became a lot less necessary when people were more used to like having a desk set up at home. I know a lot of people who use laptops basically just in a dock, and that's fine. You know, even back in the Intel days, there were a lot of people that did docked lifestyle just because the 10% of the time that they needed to move around, it was nice to just unplug it and go and not have to have a separate device. So like, yeah, totally makes sense. That's why every once in a while I'll find these used MacBooks in really, really good condition with like 8 battery cycles. That's why. It's because it was just in a dock its whole life. That's how those things come around.
Yep.
But, you know, it's weird because I think I would have thought personally that coming out of COVID with the changes that we've both described, that laptops would have seen weakening sales and that desktops would have seen more emphasis. But weirdly, Apple has kind of not done the best job with their desktop situation. We'll call it a situation because what have they done since Apple Silicon came out? They killed off the 27-inch iMac and the iMac Pro, two stalwart devices that were used by tons of people, from graphic designers to video editors to programmers. They just killed it. So then they gave us a 24-inch iMac, which they don't seem to really care that much about because they don't really update it and they don't really, you know, there's no news about it. They just kind of stuck an M3 in it and said, ah, whatever, we'll come back to it in another 3 years. And then you've got a Mac Mini, which I guess hopefully is getting some attention. The Mac Studio, which is phenomenal. And then the Mac Pro, which is like, what are we doing? And then there's only the Pro Display XDR, which is 5 years old and way too expensive. And the Studio Display, which is half-baked using an old panel from 2020 and is still too expensive. So like, help me out here, Apple. What are we missing? Because I remember when we were all paying attention with rapt attention, eyes peeled, ears perked, waiting for any news of a new 27-inch iMac. Remember we would hear, ooh, 5K, ooh, ProMotion, ooh, it could be OLED, it could be mini LED. Oh, here's the panel, the panel's in testing. And now I think it's been 2 years since we've had any credible intelligence suggesting that there could maybe be an iMac ever. It seems like Apple just doesn't care about the iMac at all, period, full stop. They're done with it.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Like, obviously, they did the 21.5-inch iMac. Like, that was a pretty cool update when it happened. And then they, like, stuck whatever the latest chip was at the time. You know, fairly recently they did that. But, like, yeah, they haven't. I guess they don't really need to do anything with the 21.5-inch iMac at this point because it's new enough. But, like, yeah, I remember when the iMac Pro and the 27-inch iMac went away and we thought that, like, we were just waiting for them to replace it. We're like, oh, like, surely they're going to come out with their replacement soon. And it just, like, never happened. And that was kind of weird. We were expecting it to happen and it just never did.
And they officially announced this, by the way. Like, this is not speculation. In November 6th, 2023, apparently Apple said it's not going to happen. They say the 24-inch iMac neatly splits the difference between the old Intel models, which were 21-inch and 27, which it doesn't, by the way. That's not how splitting it works. But anyway, it does not come with the most capable processors, though, and it just has the base model chips. And they basically say if you want an iMac, buy a Studio Display and a Mac Studio, but that's twice as much as the old 27-inch iMac used to cost, with the same exact panel, I might add. It's just, I don't know, I've always loved the iMac. Every single version of the iMac is so, well, except for the middle ones. The middle one's kind of boring. But like the original iMac, that saved Apple. Literally saved Apple. And then they had the Sunflower iMac, which was incredible. I just did a video on converting that into a display. Love that generation iMac. And then they got a little bit boring. And then there was like the slim sides iMac. And then even the Apple Silicon iMac. I love the design of that. But it seems like, I don't know, I guess the demographics have changed or something. But nobody cares about the iMac anymore. I think it's a dang shame.
Yeah, I mean, even like, I never used an iMac. I've never really been a desktop person. Like when I was a little kid and I used the old family desktop, like I don't think that really counts. Like I've never like chosen a desktop for myself, whether an iMac or a Mac Mini or anything else. But even still, I feel like a lot of people like those computers. Even if I don't really care about them, a lot of people really like them. And I think that they're obviously really nice. It's like the all-in-one with a super nice display and like whatever ports you need, like is a pretty nice thing when it was around.
And the thing that's weird though is like we've got a lot of comments like this. Most people don't want desktops anymore, and that may have some truth to it, but if that were the case, why is the Mac Studio and the Mac Mini such a success? Because the Apple Silicon Mac Mini is beloved. It really truly is. I've done multiple videos on like Mac Mini setups and people absolutely love the Mac Mini. I don't understand it. I did a video where I used a Mac Mini with the old 30-inch cinema display, and that has like a million views. And I was like, what the heck? They're like, people love the Mac Mini and the Mac Studio. I mean, the Mac Studio is fantastic. But literally all you have to do is put that behind a screen and you've got yourself an iMac. And I still think people would buy it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's something about the components being attached to each other that puts people off. And I get that, right? You can buy a Pro Display XDR. Maybe you used to use it with your 2019 Mac Pro, and then you use it now with your Apple Silicon Mac Studio, but you kept the display and you didn't have to buy a new one. That's nice. But you are paying more for the computer without any display attached to it, let alone the included mouse and keyboard. I don't know. I personally think that Apple killed the 27-inch iMac because the margins weren't very good.
Yeah, I think like maybe the real issue, you know, like you said, is that the displays that Apple offers are like they both have a lot of problems with them. The Pro Display XDR is old and expensive. The Studio display is not super, I mean, whatever. It's like too expensive and it's, you know, kind of an older panel, whatever. I wonder like if Apple improved, like imagine if they launched a new Pro Display XDR that was, you know, new and improved, it was less expensive. It's still going to be very expensive because it's a very fancy monitor that fulfills a specific purpose, but let's say that it was less expensive, and if they did a Studio display that was also nicer and less expensive, let's say that they fixed their display market, and then you have two display options and you have, I guess, three computer options. You have the Mac Mini, the Mac Studio, and the Mac Pro, if you want to count that. And then the question is that enough? Would you still miss the iMac? I think some people would still miss it. I think maybe you would still miss it, but would that be enough to sort of satisfy you and as far as Apple and the desktop game? Or is it more than just the displays?
I mean, honestly, yeah. If they were to make an actually competitive display, then I guess I'm a hypocrite because personally now I'm a dual monitor guy, so I would rather have the monitor separate from the machine. I mean, if Apple were to make an ultra-powered iMac and a monitor that looked the same as the iMac from the front, boom, I'm sold. That would be my ideal. I would love if they made, so imagine this. I'll just lay out my ideal scenario, okay? 30-inch, 6K, ProMotion, mini LED or OLED. I want, you know, uniform bezels, slim, no notch, no chin, just sleek, right? Apple design language, Pro Display XDR, all that stuff. They should make one of them that's an iMac Pro, where you can get an M4 Ultra, you know, all the same gubbins that you get in the Mac Studio. Boom, put that in there. And then have a studio display, 30-inch, that from the front looks the same. And that way I could have them side by side on a desk with the display just plugged in to the iMac one. Super clean. You wouldn't need all the wires. You wouldn't have things running off the desk. I would absolutely buy that, 100%. The problem is they're not going to do that. And the problem is an iMac is a standalone thing. It doesn't fit super well into any setup other than just having an iMac on your desk. And that used to work for me. I even used to have two iMacs next to each other. That was my old setup before the Mac Studio. Then the Mac Studio came out and the studio display, and I had an iMac, and then I had the studio display with an iMac that I had gutted and turned into an external monitor next to it. But that was so ugly that when I moved and then my editing setup became the background of my videos, that I was like, first of all, gotta look better. Second of all, I don't want a 27-inch monitor anymore. Oh my God, if I'm gonna have a desktop in the modern age, I want 30 inches. I want a big screen. That was the must-have for me. So I'm using BenQ monitors. I don't even have Apple monitors because it's just not good. There's no good option. You either get 27-inch, which is too small and too expensive, or the Pro Display XDR, which is old and too expensive. So it's like they build these great desktops and then the worst monitor pairings to go with them.
Yeah, see, I think based on this discussion, it seems to me like Apple's iMac strategy might actually make sense if their monitors made sense. So like they have the iMac, they have the basic iMac, and you see iMacs all over in reception desks of any store, dentist office, whatever. Like, that's a very common place to see them. And for those use cases, you don't need a lot of power. So it makes sense to keep that iMac. They made it colorful. When Apple makes things very colorful, that's their lower tier things. That's their design language. The lower tier things are very colorful, and the higher tier stuff is very subdued and serious, which I'm not a huge fan of. But whatever.
I disagree with.
Yeah. Exactly. But Apple made it very clear with the iMac that it was the fun one that's not, you know, the most powerful thing. And that makes sense. They got rid of the higher end iMacs. And I think that on the computer side, like we said, they have that covered, the Mac Mini and the Mac Studio and the Mac Pro, especially if we get a new Mac Mini that's smaller, bringing it back to the beginning of the episode, that would be super nice. But if they had the displays, obviously, you don't need to buy Apple displays. You can buy whatever displays, you know, like you said, you have BenQ displays. But if Apple could offer the displays and they were actually like reasonable and competitive, I feel like they could potentially like get rid of the need or fulfill the need that the iMac used to have. Yeah, it's not an all-in-one anymore, but it's not that far off. The only thing that's different is that the monitor and the computer, there's a cable between them and there's two power cables instead of one. So I think like those are the main differences. And I wonder, even imagine if Apple did, and I don't think they would do this, but imagine if they did like a bundle kind of thing where they're like, pick the Mac, pick the display, even if you don't get a discount, if they sort of sold it that way and made people think about it that way. And then imagine if they took it a step further and they made it so that you could have one power cable. You plug the power cable into the Mac and then the display and somehow the power goes to both devices. If they did just a little bit more to really fully sell it, I feel like they could justifiably eliminate the need for the higher tier IMAX, but they haven't really done that yet.
That's an interesting point. I think you're right. I think that's exactly it. The problem is it wouldn't be a big deal if the iMac had a logical successor, but they don't really have that because there's three tiers of desktop: Mac Mini, Studio, and Pro, right? That makes sense. And I actually think that the hierarchy of Mac desktops right now is the best it's ever been, because you can get them with all of the same chips as the MacBooks, and then, you know, obviously that higher tier as well. So they have the full spectrum. But the monitors don't have that because, you know, like we've said, one's weird and one's old and too expensive. So, like, if they had, realistically, what I would do is 27-inch 5K for $799. That's what the studio display should cost. And that's honestly being generous. The fact that they had the audacity to sell that for $1,600 is absolutely outrageous. And the fact that it's been 2 years now and they're still doing that, wild. But anyway, that should be $799. And then at $1,600, you should be able to buy 30-inch with ProMotion. And then the Pro display needs to be updated with, realistically, probably OLED, 7K, something like that. I don't know. It needs to be juiced. And then I think you'd have a pretty compelling argument. Granted, still very expensive, but you would at least have the M2 Pro Mac Mini to kind of fill that gap a little bit, right? An M2 Pro Mac Mini plus a studio display, that's the closest that you can get to a 27-inch iMac right now. But it still costs like $2,500 or something, $2,500. It's a lot. It's not cheap. But it's as good as you can do with Apple's weird, wacky offerings right now. Oh, God. What are they doing?
Yeah, but you know what we are not doing is talking about the iPhones.
Oh, yeah. We got into the Mac again.
Yeah, we gotta cram in some iPhone talk.
All right, let's do it. Let's do the usual. What is the killer feature? What do you think you know how every year there's like the feature that gets people interested, even if there's other reasons to upgrade? What is this year's the feature?
I'm thinking the first thing that comes to my head is that I'm thinking about is the capture button, because I don't think I think it's a distinctive thing. It's obviously like a hardware thing, so it's something that you're going to notice very quickly. But I also wonder if it will be like the dynamic island, in that before it came out, we heard these rumors. We're like, oh, the dynamic island. Oh, they're going to put the little indicator lights in between the camera and the Face ID, whatever. And we're like, okay, that makes sense, I guess, but who cares? And then Dynamic Island was announced with this thing, and we're like, oh, it all makes sense now, whatever. I wonder if potentially the capture button will be, because right now I hear capture button, I'm like, okay, you press it to take a picture, maybe you hold it to take a video, whatever. But I wonder if they'll do something with it, maybe something related to AI. If they're going all in on AI, it seems like it would make sense to have an AI button or something, but like, If they really do something with that that we aren't really expecting, I think that could be a really interesting feature.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that could be the wolf in sheep's clothing of a feature, but in a good way, because that's kind of what we had with the dynamic island, right? We didn't even know that it was going to be a dynamic island. And that's kind of, I like that part of modern iPhone rumors, because It's not just like a hardware feature or a software feature. It's kind of a combo. And so we knew that there was going to be that punch hole camera. We thought it was going to be the eye shape. And then I think it was like sometime over the summer, I was like, what if they fill it in as black and they put like the camera turning on or off or the microphone notification in there so then it would look like a pill. And I thought it was very clever for that. But then they totally one-upped us with a really cool feature, the dynamic island. So I think you're right that the capture button could have the potential to be a really, really interesting feature, even if it literally is just like, hey, there's another button now.
Yeah, exactly. I do wonder, like, the last, there's obviously the action button, and that, at least for me, was not particularly interesting. I have it bound to the camera, and I do actually occasionally use it, especially if I'm, like, at a concert, and I want to get a quick picture or video. Sometimes I'll rebind it between picture and video, and sometimes it's nice. I can pull my phone out, hit the button, and whatever, but, like, right. That one didn't really move the needle. That was one that, like, that was obviously like one of the major features of the 15 Pro. Didn't do that much for me personally. So I wonder if the capture button, obviously it's another button, maybe it'll just be the same thing. But I feel like there's a potential for Apple to do something more with it, because it's that thing, like you said, the hardware and the software. If they can, the action button's just, okay, you hold the button and you pick what it does. Like, that's pretty straightforward. But there's a lot of things that Apple could potentially do with the action button with the capture button in software that could make it more interesting. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping that will be the case with more than just that button, because honestly, I think, at least from my familiarity with the top line rumors that we've been hearing, honestly, it seems like this year's kind of a low key year.
Yeah, I was trying to think of, obviously the capture button is one, and then like I guess the bezels are supposed to get even thinner, which is always cool. What else was there?
Nothing crazy. I mean, again, we've heard camera improvements, but that's something that typically doesn't get leaked all that often, because obviously the cameras externally don't look any different. So we need Apple to tell us about that. But we haven't heard like megapixel increases or telephoto increases. I'm hoping they'll bring the 5X to the iPhone 16 Pro, not just the Pro Max, but who knows? I do like the 5X. I think that's a nice feature that was one that was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think smaller bezels could be tandem OLED. That's possible. I saw that one put in chat there. Maybe. That would be very, very cool. Not game-changing, because it's still ProMotion, still OLED, but would be more bright, better peak brightness and HDR content, so that could be good. I had forgotten about this. There was a rumor that the ultra wide could get 48 megapixel, and that is actually very exciting for me. I had forgotten about that one. That's a good one, because I personally use the ultra wide camera a lot. I use it all the time. I love the ultra wide camera. I shoot videos on ultra wide. I shoot pictures on ultra wide. It is a phenomenal camera. That was honestly one of Apple's best moves, introducing that. But it's always been a little grainy and a little bit, like, you can definitely tell that the quality is degraded. And this also helps solve another issue that they've had since introducing the 48 megapixel main sensor, and that is that stupid macro mode switching. Whenever you try to take a picture, you know, 8 to 10, maybe 12 inches away from something, it always switches to macro mode, and then it crops in on that 12 megapixel ultra wide, and it looks so unbelievably bad that I honestly can't believe that they've shipped two generations of iPhone with that bug, glitch, flaw. You know, it's awful. So I'm really hoping that they fix the ultra wide, because then it would ostensibly fix that as well.
Yeah, I guess I very rarely use the the ultra wide. Maybe I should use it more, but I feel like I only use it when I need, like I need to, like if I'm in a enclosed space or whatever and I can't capture everything, you know, then I'll use it. But yeah, I guess like it makes sense. Every year there's usually some kind of camera upgrade. I agree the 5X is nice. I do use the 5X quite a bit. It's whatever, taking pictures of things from far away, concerts again. It's a great place to have that. So I really like that feature. But yeah, I don't know. So it's like cameras, capture button, bezels. I don't know. Maybe different color or something. Yeah, it doesn't seem like doesn't seem that crazy. I'm hoping that there's a dynamic island moment, as we'll call it, where there's like something big that we and maybe the capture button will be that. Something anticipate. That we exactly something that we don't expect and it happens and we're like, okay, this is actually kind of cool now.
Yeah, I really hope. I'm trying not to get my hopes up too high, because basically Apple's strategy with the iPhone lately, and it's smart, don't get me wrong, is every year is incremental. It's exciting enough that you don't say, well, it's completely boring, but it's not too exciting, because I think Apple realized that super cycles equal bad. We don't want a super cycle. We want every year to be a little bit of an upgrade to try to get as many people to upgrade as many years as possible. Now, that's not necessarily to say that they're trying to get everyone to upgrade every year, right? That's not necessarily realistic. But I think, and this is unfortunate, right? This is the business side of Tim Cook's leadership as opposed to the excitement side of Steve Jobs' leadership, right? And that was basically, let's not try to have everyone buying at the same time, because then what happens is, oh, iPhone sales are up 30%, but then the next year, inevitably, they're down 30% because everyone just bought the iPhone last year. So I think Tim Cook, being a very savvy businessman, knows that it's better to sell roughly the same amount of iPhones every year with a more gradual and stable increase. You know, every year they're selling to all three of those categories, right? Every single year, you've got simps like us that will buy the new one just because they changed the color. I even had a few friends that bought the green iPhone 13 and they already had an iPhone 13. I'm like, damn, you got two iPhone sales in the same generation to the same guy. That's a simp. Then you've got, you know, the wise guys who are like, okay, my iPhone 13, I'm going to give it to my son, sell it on eBay, trade it in, whatever you have it. I like the new features. This is what I've wanted. And then you've got the Scrooges. That's my mom. Her battery is not doing so hot. I said, hold on. She's charging her phone 5 times a day. I said, hang in there. Just 1 month to go. You can do this. She's like, I don't know. It's not doing so well. I need a new phone. I said, wait, not in August, please. Please don't buy a new phone in August. I beg of you.
Wow, you're a savior.
I am.
In the work.
I do what I can.
Geez. But yeah, no, I agree. It's pretty clear, recently, the past couple generations, that Apple has really gotten into that groove of, you know, the new iPhone has some nice features. It's not boring. It's never a completely boring year, but it's never a super exciting year for the past while. I would say it seems like maybe the 16 Pro will be a bit less exciting. I feel like the 15 Pro was like, you know, USB-C was pretty cool. Titanium's pretty cool. Action button I thought was pretty cool. Don't really use it too much, but whatever. And thinner bezels, whatever. I feel like the 16 right now looks a little bit less exciting. We'll see what Apple actually announces. But overall, it's, I think, within the margin of error for sort of Apple's strategy for the past few years.
Yeah. You know, I don't like it any more than anyone else. I get it. I totally understand why Tim Cook wants to sell a roughly similar amount of iPhones every year and not, you know, rock the boat with a big super cycle. That's what happened with the iPad. Clearly was not good for their business overall, right? So I can understand where the limitation of a super cycle is. But, you know, I would like something interesting. We've heard iPhone 17 Slim, which seems very weird to me. That's not relevant this year, but next year, supposedly, there's going to be like an iPhone Air. And I'm like, I don't understand that. Have you heard those rumors?
I think I saw something very briefly about that. But yeah, does the iPhone really
need an Air? It doesn't make
any
sense. Exactly. I mean, so I gotta pull up an article on this because, quite frankly, why? Why? What is the point? It's a thinner, but it's gonna slot somewhere between like an iPhone 17 Plus and a Pro Max. Why do we need another iPhone in that gap? Like, if you want something cheaper than a Pro Max, why would you spend a little bit more to get the slim one? But then that slim one wouldn't have all the features of the Pro Max. So it just doesn't seem like it would have a very broad appeal to me.
Yeah, I'm not. And especially after, like, there was the iPhone mini and Apple tried that and it wasn't very popular and they killed that off. There was, I would think, arguably more of a market for that because it's like actually a different size that you couldn't get before, and that didn't do very well. I'm not sure why this would be any better than that.
So here's what Gurman is saying the sales pitch will be. If you want something snazzier than a standard iPhone but don't really need the performance, screen size, or cameras of a Pro model, you can get something that looks cooler while still having the specifications of a regular iPhone. Now, okay, I kind of get that. It's the wording of this article seems to imply that this is sort of like a replacement for the iPhone Plus. Like, I think we all understand regular iPhone, Pro, and Pro Max. I get it. But the mini didn't really work. The Plus hasn't really worked either. So maybe a Slim could make some sense. But Gurman says that it is just a step to something better. Eventually, they want to squeeze the power of a Pro model into the thinner design, but that won't happen until 2027. Why is everything taking so long to happen, first of all? But more importantly for this discussion, I don't know if that would be the best idea. If you want to make the iPhone thin again and, you know, go full Johnny Ive on it, sure, I get that. But also, it seems like a slim iPhone would probably suffer in battery. And that is something that we all want more of pretty much constantly. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the slim.
Yeah. I guess I kind of get the idea. At first, I was confused. I'm like, there's no way they can have five iPhones, the regular Plus, Pro, and Pro Max, and like a Slim. If they're getting rid of the Plus, and this is basically the new Plus, I guess I could see it. I could also see if it's the size of the Plus and it's thinner, they could still, maybe they have the same amount of battery life as the regular iPhone, the regular 17 or whatever phone it is. But it's thinner and it's larger, so whatever. I still agree with you that people generally want more battery life, and so I'm not sure if that's a great compromise, but maybe some people want to. I don't really see a need for the iPhone to be thinner. There was no need for the iPad to be thinner, and they just did that, so I guess whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I kind of see where Apple's going. They tried the small one. It didn't really work. They tried just the big one. It didn't really work. And they're like, maybe the big one was a bit better, or maybe it's a bit easier for them to do because it's whatever, the same size as the Pro Max, but it has the internals of the regular. So maybe it's a little bit easier. I don't know. But like, maybe they're just saying, okay, the Plus was better. Maybe it was closer, whatever it was, but it wasn't quite there. Maybe if we make it a little bit nicer, you know, to go with that price tag of being a little bit more expensive. I don't know. I don't think, I mean, I personally wouldn't buy one, but maybe someone would.
Honestly, maybe. Maybe. But unfortunately, maybe is also the answer to the question, will you ever see us again? Because apparently that is an uncertain quantity, but fortunately we did give you some extra time today. We went a bit long, we started a bit early. I'm sure we're gonna have a lot more to say. I'm gonna prepare a whole, I'll probably have a video out this month on iPhone 16 because I haven't really talked about it, and we're gonna definitely do a much deeper dive next episode in September, a week ahead of launch. Basically, get excited. We certainly haven't been, but maybe we'll find some reason to be excited by then. But until then, I have been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. Have a great night. We'll see you on September 1st with some exciting iPhone talk.
Oh, God. September 1st.